Good morning, everyone. My name is Carol Topchick, and I'm a member of the Board of Trustees of this congregation. We welcome all, regardless of age, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religious background, or political affiliation, factors that can separate people in our world. If you're new to our congregation, please join us after the service for tea and coffee and a little conversation. Feel free to take any brochures in the back that out by the front sign-in desk and sign our guest book. Speak to anyone, especially people that have name tags with blue dots. This morning I'm Katie Bunsen because I left my name tag at home. But so don't necessarily pay any attention to the names, just the blue dots. But we'd be happy to answer any questions about the order of things and the way things run here at the fellowship. Our services can vary a bit, so we encourage you to visit more than one time to get a full flavor of what we have to offer here. Two quick announcements. One very important one, that next Sunday is a full congregation meeting after the service. It's an information meeting about where we are in our search for a new settled minister. So important information. If you have time, please stay after the service. The other announcement is for the yoga fundraiser. You'll see all the pertinent information in your program on the extra sheet. But this is a yoga session, which is great for everyone. And Vicki Luckauer is going to lead that. And so now, please turn off your cell phones. Parents of small children are reminded that we do have children and religious education services. However, if you choose to keep your children here with you in the worship room, please respect our need for some quiet time and peaceful time for reflection. Please be aware that after the service, if you do have small children, they are not permitted back in the Sunday school area unless they have adult supervision. And again, welcome everyone. I'm going to turn things over to Abigail.
Good morning. I'm actually going to add one additional announcement that I was not able to get to Carol this morning. There will be a meeting on this fellowship's participation in the emergency shelter project of Mount Kisco next Sunday after the service. Our order of service today, the sermon, will include a ritual, just so that you are all prepared. We gather this morning from many places. We arrive at this place tired or rested, well-fed or hungry. We arrive at this place anxious or calm, angry or peaceful inside. We gather this morning from many places to seek within and together a quiet place to reflect in our deepest being. We gather this morning in a place set apart from the daily world for just this one hour. May the sound of this chime awaken within us the memory of those who came before us and have struggled to light the way. And it rings. And may the sound of this chime awaken within us the healing and holy possibilities of searching for deeper meaning in our journey together. And may this final chime awaken in us an awareness of all those who will carry the torch of our faith that we now nurture with love and care into the future when we will have become the ancestors. Want to join me? Let us say together our chalice lighting and unison affirmation. Shall we light that? May the light of this flame illuminate our lives and strivings of the Spirit. May it heal misunderstanding and strengthen love. Love is the doctrine of this fellowship. The quest for truth is this sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek truth and love, to serve humanity in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow into harmony, thus to be covenant with one another.
You may be seated.
I would ask that the Board of Trustees please come forward and stand right here. We'd like to take this moment to introduce to you the members of the Board of Trustees of this fellowship. In the middle are Patricia Compton and Todd Distin. Can you step forward a moment as I say each of your names? Co-chairs of the board. Lisa Baker. Stephanie Brandenburg, Kathy Gallagher, Carol Goldman, Rick Colt, Pete Renschner Kelly, who is not here this morning, and Carol Topchick. We have... The members of the Board of Trustees are elected by the congregation at congregational meetings, and they serve for limited terms. And this is the board that has currently been elected by this congregation. I invite you to say to one another the words printed on your order of service. The board can begin. Congregation. Thank you for the board for your willingness to faithfully serve this congregation. I invite you now to greet your neighbor in the spirit of openness and wonder with a curiosity about their spirit and their being. please remain standing as we join together. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing together hymn number 290, Bring O Past Your Honor. You may be seated. And now we will have our prelude. You probably thought that belonged in the beginning of the service. But we'll have it now before our story for all ages.
invite all the children to come up and sit before me, and I'll read the story of the singing man, which is a story adapted from a West African folk tale. Oh, and if there's anyone, any adults who are young at heart who'd like prefer to sit up front, they may do so as well. Long ago in West Africa, the people spoke of the singing man. Some tell his story this way. In a small village near the city of Lagos, there lived a man and woman who had three sons, Swanga, Taki, and Banzar. When the boys of the village reached a certain age, their fathers took them deep into the bush for their manhood ceremony. The elders shared the wisdom of their years, and the young men danced and feasted with the boys. When the manhood ceremonies were over, the boys chose their life's work. Swanga decided to become a farmer, Taki a blacksmith. The elders of the village called Banzar before them. "What work will you do to help the village?" asked one of the elders. "I want to be a musician," Banzar said. "A musician," said the elders. They whispered among themselves. Then they spoke to Banzar's father. "The elders say that music is not an acceptable choice," Banzar's father told his son. "Can music grow yams to fill your stomach? Can music make iron into tools to sell in the marketplace? The elders have declared that you must work for the good of the village, or you cannot remain here." "I am sorry, father," Banzar said. "I want only to be a musician, so I will go." Banzar left his village and walked for a long time. On the road, he met a blind man. "Could you tell me if I'm near the town of Otolo?" "Yes, it's just down the road," said Banzar. "I'm going to Otolo also." "Then we can travel together," said the old man. "Are you going to the marketplace to buy or sell?" "Neither," said Banzar. "I have just a few coins, and therefore I cannot buy anything. The only thing I own is my flute, and I would never sell that." "Ah," said the old man, "you must be a musician. Let me hear you play." Banzar made the flute trill like a songbird. "Yes, you have the gift," said the old man. "Why don't you travel with me? My name is Sholo. If you help me, I will teach you the ways of a musician." In front of the chief of Otolo's house, Sholo placed the omele drum between his knees and beat out a wild rhythm. "Pum-pum-ba-lumbo, pum-pum-ba-lumbo." The old man sang of the mighty warriors of Otolo and of the chief's bravery in battle. He sang of the chief's goodness to his people and his wisdom as a leader. A crowd gathered around Sholo and Banzar. They clapped and danced to the music of the drum. For many years, Banzar traveled with Sholo from town to town. Sholo taught Banzar how to play the omele drum and composed the praise songs that honored the ancestors of the village chiefs. "We are the keepers of the past," Sholo told Banzar. A people without a past have no future." As the years went by, Sholo grew old and feeble. One day he died. For a long time, Banzar stopped playing his flute. He sat by the river for hours, gently tapping Sholo's omele drum and thinking about his friend. He remembered Sholo's words. "I alone know the history of our people," Banzar thought to himself. "I must tell them about the past so they will be strong in the future. I know that is what Sholo would want me to do." Suddenly, Banzar felt better. He lifted his flute to his lips and played song after song. He pounded out the pum-pum-ba-lo-bo beat on the omele drum. He made up a song about Sholo and his wisdom. Then Banzar, the praise singer, picked up his instruments and traveled to the nearest town. Banzar became a famous praise singer, and one day sang before the king of Lagos. "Of all the musicians I have heard, you have the greatest gift," said the king. "If you will remain in Lagos as my personal musician, you will be handsomely rewarded." "I would be honored," said Banzar. The king gave Banzar a house, money, and servants. Banzar wore robes made of rich material and a special golden necklace. He became a very respected man in Lagos. One day, in the Lagos marketplace, Banzar saw his brothers, Taki and Swanga. They did not recognize him in his fine clothes. They told him that they were having great problems in their village. The crops were not good that year. People did not have enough to eat. "Take me to your village," he told them. As the night drew near, Banzar saw his mother and father and two brothers on the edge of a crowd that had gathered in the village. He took out his flute and stood before them. Then he played a few sad notes and sang. A man and a woman had three fine sons. When the first son became a man, his desire was to till the land. When the second son became a man, his desire was to make things of iron. When the third son became a man, his desire was to become a musician. And the first son was honored, and the second son was praised. But the third son was cast out from his family to wander for the rest of his days. "Oh," said Banzar's father, "this song is just like the thing that has happened to us. Our third son wanted to be a musician. He has been gone these many years and by now is probably dead." "No, my father, he lives," says Banzar. "I am he." Then Banzar and his family rejoiced. And now here is a new saying. Yams fill the belly and trade fills the pockets, but music fills the heart. Now I'd like to invite the children in their costumes to parade around the room, and everyone can take an instrument so that we can fill our hearts with music.
Let us sing the children out. Peace be with you and our blessing. Peace be with you and our blessing. Peace be with you and our blessing as you leave us now. The offering is a sacrament of the free fellowship. This fellowship is supported by the voluntary generosity of all who join with us. The offering is a time to celebrate our abundance, the abundance that we are blessed enough to be able to share something beyond our mere individual survival. A time to celebrate not only our own abundance in generosity, but that of those who came before us. It is in our generosity of spirit and of giving that we continually create and recreate this community. Our generosity funds the work of this congregation, the work of learning, living, sharing, and spreading a liberal religious message about the potential of unfolding human possibilities for goodness and justice without creed or dogma. The offering will now be given and received in grateful appreciation of our shared hopes and values. Please be generous. Half a sermon goes with the offering. This is our time of sharing the personal joys and sorrows of our lives, deepening the connections of this community one to the other. If you have a joy or a sorrow to share, please come forward, light a candle, and you may, if you wish, share aloud with the gathered community.
Hello, I'm Donna Moriarty, shorter than usual. Actually, this is a candle of sorrow and also of hope. 15 people from my organization were laid off on Thursday. It's been a long time coming, and it was, I know, difficult to arrive at that. But, you know, it's people's lives, and some of them have been there for about 30 years, and, you know, it was rough. It was really rough. So I just want to keep them in our hearts today.
I'm John Bell. I'll continue with this theme. This is can be considered both a candle of hope and sorrow and all this, but mostly a candle of change, because it seems like every year for the past 10 years, my organization is downsized. And this year is my turn.
I'm Lisa, and I just wanted to light a candle of joy that our friend Patty Millman was able to be here with us. She got dragooned into coming and hearing Jerry sing, but we're very happy that she was able to join us here today. This is that thing where the board members are supposed to remember to make the wicks stand up so that they can get lit. I'll take responsibility.
I'm Joyce DeFlumer, and for the past year, I've had two of my sisters haven't been talking to me. It had to do with my mother's passing away 2 years ago, and all the nastiness that happens after that sometimes. Well, my strategy was just to wait, and I thought it might blow over. And last Saturday, one of these sisters, called me and said that she was tired of being mad. And so there, I have a candle of thanks.
I'm going to light two candles this morning. The first one is for the courage and life of Rosa Parks. May we all find such courage when life calls upon us. The second one is for all of those joys and sorrows that we are holding deep within inside us that we have not been able to give voice to yet. May we continue to hold one another always in our hearts with care and thoughtfulness. Let us join together this morning in a time of intentional focus. Let us begin by noticing our breath, making yourselves comfortable as you would like. Let us begin to notice as we breathe in and breathe out. We share with every living human being the act of breathing. We share with every other breathing being on this planet the air around us. The air we breathe in today may have cycled through the lungs and bodies of our personal ancestors and of our congregational ancestors who may have worshipped in this very room, ancestors living and dead. In this very elemental way, as we breathe in and breathe out, we share life with one another. We touch one another's lives. The air we breathe in and out in this moment will one day be the breath of life for someone we have never met face to face. Knowing that we share this act of breathing with every human being, those who came before us, those we share the earth with on this day, and those who will come after us. Let us be mindful of all the people around us and those that we share with all the time. Without darkness, there is no light. Without a past, there is no future. Without death, there is no life. Without initiation, there is no maturity. Without maturity, there is no viable connection to the past upon which we can build into a future. Or, without maturity, there is no life. I would say these statements are explicit and implicit in that version of the Yoruba story that we heard earlier this morning. In this telling of the story, Banzar, his initial journey into the dark, his initiation, his manhood ceremony, as they call it, is told in just a sentence. A sentence that may hold little meaning for us, modern or postmodern Westerners not raised in a tradition with much initiation. And yet, many of us have read or heard the stories about any number of adolescent initiations into adulthood, the current favorite perhaps being Harry Potter. Perhaps we've even read a good deal about the tribal initiations of men and women, some of which we look upon, especially the ones for women, as an injustice because of how they mutilate women's bodies. We hear about Harry Potter and his friends entering into the dark forest. Luke Skywalker, who does battle with the forces of darkness. Every major hero story. Hero meaning both male and female. Every major hero story is about a journey into something dark so that there can be a ripening, maturing return to a more fruitful and whole light. The earliest stories of our culture, Gilgamesh, the Egyptian, Mesopotamian, and Greek myths, are very explicit about where that into the dark goes. In those stories, into the dark goes into the underworld, the world of the dead, where only the gods can enter and return, except for those few human heroes who manage the journey, and in the process bring something fruitful and of change back to their selves and their communities. This is the time of year when, in the myth of Persephone, she is condemned to return to that underworld. That is the way in which she manages to go back and forth. She must go back half the year. And for half the year, her mother, the earth, or mother nature, as we might know, think of Demeter, goes into mourning and creates a fallow season. In this hemisphere, that fallow season is our autumn and our winter. How convenient. Into those darknesses that all the heroes go, they're not necessarily bad or evil. Darkness is instead a time of replenishing fallow season. It is a time of going deep within, a time to turn our focus towards ourselves and towards the depths. Modern psychology would probably say that most of the heroes of mythology or modern fiction, or even of religious life, who encountered the underworld or the dark forest or the impossible obstacles or temptations or 40 years in the desert, we're simply a projection of our own human fears. And they're probably right. But when we encounter our own fears, what is it that we find there? Fear of loss and of death, of banishment from the community, as Banzar was banished, or estrangement. But also, if we allow ourselves to go into the dark, nourishing dark, if we allow ourselves the time, we find there the very deepest of our own creative inner being. If we go into our own depths and use the time of darkness to go into a nourishing time, we close out the bright colors and sounds and distractions of the outer world and concentrate on the feelings and experiences within. Like those cold winter days when you might curl up with a cup of cocoa and each sip or gulp can be felt as the warmth enters first on our mouths, going over our tongues and slowly going down our esophagus and finally into our stomach. And sometimes when we just sit there with nothing but the cup of cocoa, we take the time to feel that experience. A fallow time like an initiation time allows us to slow down and to touch and feel and taste with an uncharacteristic clarity our inner being, our senses, thoughts, and feelings. For Banzar, in the story, the initiation process itself was an entering into the dark of his own interior being. And he found there the creative response of music. And that took him into another time of darkness in which he was banished from the community. I think we could probably, many of us, just imagine what his parents had to say when he came out and announced that he wanted to be a musician instead of a farmer or a blacksmith. I can sort of hear it now, can hear myself as a parent or hear my own parents speaking to me. You want to do what? How practical is that? What do you mean you want to be a musician? How are you going to feed your family? And so we can know that there was a compelling pull upon Banzar not to follow that inner creative self that he encountered when he went into his own darkness. There would be a pull to listen to the elders right there in his own community, his siblings, his parents. I'm sure many others chimed right in along with them. What do you mean you want to be a musician? Personally, I have some experience of having heard this in my own life since I came to the ministry from being a musician first. And perhaps you can find experiences in your own lives where you found something profoundly deep inside of yourself that you wanted to follow, and someone said, what do you mean you want to do that? That's crazy. Or it's not practical. Or what will happen if you walk down that path? And yet, Banzar found a way to stay true to his own inner vision found in the time of walking into darkness. But he did not see his community affirming that wisdom. And so he had to leave and look elsewhere. Perhaps that's not unlike what many of you today have done in terms of your own religious search for truth and meaning. Perhaps you have come from a tradition whose wisdom or creed or dogma did not make sense to you, And so you needed to leave the community that may have nurtured and nourished you, that may have given you a time to walk into your own darkness of understand, of encountering and learning around religion, only to discover that you had to leave to come somewhere else. So Banzar left his community seeking to follow the music of his being, to find the experience of understanding in a larger context, which, by the way, is the meaning of the word liberal in liberal religion, larger, wider context. It's one understanding of it. And in his journey into the dark and being banished from the community, Banzar reconnected to the ancestors of the larger story of his community. This is the time of year when we often seek to reconnect to the ancestors of our communities and our families. A time when, in a modern culture that has lost often any paths for us to go into the darkness, and especially the darkness that connects us with those who have died, this is the time of year when we look to other cultures and other traditions to help us find our way back. And so, like the story of Persephone that happens year in and year out and is circular and part of the cycle of life, we take this time of year when it starts to get darker as we move into the darkness. We take this time of year to try and connect with those who have died, with that part of ourselves which is connected both to life and to death, in order to seek our own wholeness, in order to do what I would say the Yoruba story leads us to in its very beginning, that without darkness there is no light, without a past there is no future, without death there is no life. And so this community, I understand, has taken this time over the last several years to acknowledge the ancestors who have come before you, those people who have contributed to your story and made your life meaningful, as Banzar went around bringing back the meaningful stories of the larger African culture and ultimately reconnecting with his own family and his own community from which he was originally banished. I invite you at this time, if you would like, to participate in a ritual of connecting to your personal ancestors and also the living and some of whom are no longer living ancestors of this particular congregation. I will begin with a Kaddish written by Anita Diamant, a modern prayer of mourning from the Jewish tradition. Each of us has a name given by the source of life and given by parents. Each of us has a name given by our stature and our smile and given by what we wear. Each of us has a name given by the mountains and given by our walls, given by the stars and given by our neighbors. Each of us has a name given by our enemies and given by our love. Each of us has a name given by our celebrations and by our work. Each of us has a name given by our seasons and given by our blindness. each of us has a name given by the sea and given by our death. I invite each of you to stand, if you wish or not, and name aloud those whose lives and deaths have touched you. Maybe someone or several people whose presence in your life has given you something meaningful. It may be something good that you hope to recreate in your own life and pass on to others. It may be something that was painful or hurtful or destructive that you strive not to recreate in your life or the lives of those around you. I invite you now, as you wish, to stand or to sit and name aloud.
Thank you. I will add my father, Abe Stockman, and the original temporary steering committee of this congregation, Flo and Joe Morse, Nancy Malawista, Iris Soroka, Reed Hinrichs, Nancy Burbrick, Clovis Herning, Pat Shedd, Ann Caton, Ruth Mann, and H.C. Clark. And my apologies to anyone whose name I did not get here. Thank you all. We are witness to one another's sharing of those ancestors who have deeply affected our lives. May our beings and our congregational being be enriched and guided by the learning and wisdom that we carry from those who came before us. And may we remember always that we pass on to those who come after us all that we are and cherish and learn to live. Amen. Rise as you are willing, in body or in spirit, to sing our final hymn, number 311. Calls you to dance, please do so. remain standing for the closing words, chalice extinguishing, and singing Go Now in Peace. Let it be a dance that we do with the ancestors who have come before us, with our own being as we sometimes enter into the darkness of ourselves so that we may learn to grow, and also with those who will come after us. Let us leave them a dance. May it be so. Let's join together in the words of our chalice extinguishing. Flame, peace, and love until we meet again.
Go now in peace. Go now.